Okay, I'm just going to do a quick test. Can you say something in your mic?
Hi, gay people. I just read the most profound caption, and then I realized it was from Addison Rae. No shock there.
I like her.
I do too.
I don't know anything about her, but
she's a prophet.
She seems nice.
Yes. Welcome back to Smell You Later, the podcast about Addison Rae. I'm so excited about today.
Me too.
I need to say something first.
What?
I've been waiting to tell you all week.
Oh.
I have been smelling something that I'm so obsessed with.
What?
And so it's a good thing that we co-host this podcast. So this whole, like, I celebrate the banana community, but I am banana neutral.
Okay.
You know,
that's fair.
The banana trend is fun. There are some I love, some I don't. I think it can go either way, whatever. Flamingo Estate,
ooh,
you will be dealt with.
Oh.
They just put out this, I think it's called a body balm, and it is banana scented.
Oh.
And it's funny because, like, on the pack, there's really very little about banana. It's more about the body balm, but
yeah,
they pitched it with banana. I don't know why I called it. Oh, actually, I do know why I called it in. I wanted their fennel oil, and I was like, why don't you throw that in?
Oh, yeah.
And I got it. Sable, it is incredible.
Banana body balm?
Yes, it is.
What does it do?
It's basically, it's much more of an oil than a balm. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Which I realize
okay,
that, you know, same thing. But it's much more of a body oil than like a lotion.
Got it.
The scent is the most exquisite.
Oh my God.
Banana. It's like
I gotta get that.
A banana that just became ripe like yesterday, and the peel is still a little, it's not green, but it smells green.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's just a little bit of spice at the back. It is really, truly like,
I didn't even know that existed.
Stunning. It's really new.
Okay.
It's really new, and it's not limited edition. I'm still sort of figuring out how the fuck to wear it, because like,
it's for moisture, not necessarily as like a scent, but it has a scent. So.
Correct.
Yeah.
A pretty strong scent. Those Flamingo Estate body products are
really
scented. Like the honey.
Oh, I had their body wash, and it went honestly a little too crazy for me.
Yeah,
it was the
euphoric
one, and it was super, super peppery.
Yeah. The honey hand cream smells great, but it is pungent.
I wanted to try their Manuka honey stuff.
Yeah, it's good. I mean,
mm-hmm,
but so for instance, like I can't put this on my hands during the day because it's slimy. I can, you know, put it on at night, or I can wear it on my body like whenever. But the scent is just really one of the best things I smell all year.
Wow.
To be honest.
Okay, I need to get my hands on that.
Shout out Flamingo Estate.
I've been burning their new Sappho fig candle.
Yeah.
And it is exquisite.
Yeah.
It's so good.
The girl should be shaking. They know what they're doing with scents. The minute that EDP drops, it's going to be over.
They just recently, a couple of weeks ago, sent me the Princess Tarta perfume oil,
yeah,
which I did not realize was based on the princess cake from St. Ambrose.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
You did know that because I told you.
Okay, well then I forgot. Excuse me. But I remember when we went to dinner there,
yeah,
we went to a press dinner there 2 weeks ago, and the West Village location, which is very cozy, very tiny. And there were these two young girls who came in just to get dessert for takeout. And I was kind of listening to them because certain people just have a certain frequency of,
yep,
voice that just cuts through everything.
Yeah.
So it's like, I can't not listen to you.
Loud bitch behavior.
Yeah. She's not even speaking loudly. It's just the frequency of her voice is just like straight to my eardrums.
Yeah.
And she was like, should I get one or two of the princess cakes? I should just get two because like we're already here. And I was like, girl, get two.
You leave with her.
Yeah. Always think of future self.
Yes.
Who will want another slice?
Another slice.
But I did not know the lore of the princess cake,
yes,
until. So I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Most iconic cake in New York.
It feels sacrilege to me that I haven't tried it yet.
Yeah, that is odd.
I never know about things like across the East River. My domain is Kings County.
That's funny. I want to talk a little shit about Estee Lauder, but I'm going to save it for next episode because we have a lot to get to.
Frag?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I don't know anything about it, but I got a press release for it. I was like, should I call? I don't care.
We'll talk about it later.
Tynan, what do you smell like today?
It's one of those. I smell like Kaylee Bougie Kitty Caramel Milk 22.
I need to know.
So
I need to know about this. I've only heard it spoken about with a somewhat snarky tone.
Yeah, because people have no goddamn sense of humor.
Nobody wants Bougie Kitty.
Okay, so I think originally a couple months back, Kaylee teased a fragrance called Kitten Fur.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Kitten Fur is happening in fragrance.
Okay.
And that sounds interesting to me. But then they dropped this called Bougie Kitty Caramel Milk. There's nothing about Kitten Fur. It's a, mm-hmm, caramel fragrance. So I think a lot of the disdain maybe came from that mixed messaging, which I understand. Like, that would piss me off, too, if I wanted a Kinfer. If I wanted a caramel fragrance from Cali, this gives me exactly what I wanted. And I have learned in recent years that I love a caramel scent. Not that that's shocking, me being me, but caramel skin from Fleur really knocked my wig off. And then, what was it? Queen's Caramel from Alice Brooklyn. Yeah. Also really, really great. So this...
Very decadent.
I would say... If you have Queen's Caramel, you probably don't need this. They're different, but they're not dissimilar.
Okay. Got it.
It's really nice. I mean, like, think about what Kaoli would do with a caramel, and that is it.
Yeah.
It's sticky, it's creamy, it's a little bit spicy. It's, well, me. no, it's great. Opens with salted caramel and silky caramel milk, blended with rich white chocolate and vanilla caviar at its heart. And the dry down reveals a decadent scent cloud of caramel santal and soft musk. So, yeah, I mean, it's really great. It has that nice sort of musky, sandalwoody texture at the base that makes it sort of like puffy and plush. It's great. It's a Kaoli caramel.
This is not their first caramel scent. I feel like they had another in the past.
They probably had scents with caramel, but this is their first true caramel.
Okay. I feel like they've had super caramelly scents in the past, but again, it's like they do so many gourmands, like, it's inevitable.
Yeah. Right, right.
But maybe this is the first time they, like, put it in the title.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I feel like kitten fur, as a note, it's like a vibe. It's not an actual smell.
Well, it's not
smell,
even a
though.
Note in here.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I think they tried to, like, bring it
over.
You can't
actually smell. They probably smell like shit, honestly.
Right, but there are notes that can lend themselves to musky fur.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's the feel.
But this one doesn't do that.
Yeah.
So I understand the confusion there. But I love it. I mean, I'm Kaoli pill down, so here we are. But yeah, Sable, what do you smell like today?
I smell like a new scent from our friends at Aloria, Prelude, which is the first release of their next collection, About Love.
About Love.
About Love.
I saw that and I said, absolutely.
We had a really fun dinner with them this past week. That was really delicious. But we got to preview the About Love collection. There's four of them. And I believe on that night, it was also the launch date for Prelude. So I guess they're kind of staggering them.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting because previously they've always done a set of four at a time.
Yeah, and the dates are not that far apart.
No,
you won't have to wait long.
Yeah. And when I smelled this, because they just passed around sprayed blotters, I was like, holy shit, this is that type of cold air, cozy, musky scent that I love. It reminded me a bit of, I don't know if anyone smelled this, a Documents Feather that I was obsessed with. But it had this cold but cozy, musky floral quality to it.
Wait, I didn't realize you liked this month. No shade.
I'll be honest, when I sprayed it on the card, maybe because it was just a little bit dried down, I liked it a lot more than when it's freshly sprayed. I think this is perfect 30 minutes after you spray it, for me personally.
Okay.
Because I think right after you spray it, it's very aldehydic and a little bit sharp.
Watery.
Yeah. The hero note is Korean wild rose, and it's meant to be like a soft skin floral. They list out bergamot, magnolia leaf, peach blossom, Korean wild rose, jasmine absolute, ambrofix, Isoe Super, Woody Musk, Ambret Seed Absolute.
Okay, so this is much more ambery than I give it credit for first time around. Yeah,
interesting.
No, I'm sorry, not ambery, musky.
Yeah. It's very musky. It was made by our friend, Rodrigo Flores Rue.
Do not call me.
I love him. And he said that, like, I think it was the first time that he had worked with the specific rose.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot pronounce the name. Gilegat? I'm butchering it. I can't. It's embarrassing. But the Korean wild rose is a specific rose in Korea that only has 5 petals and it's super, super fragrant.
Mm.
So they did the bell jar situation, the headspace thing with it to put it in this fragrance. And I've said it so many times, like, I'm not a rose person, meh, meh, meh. But I love being proved wrong.
It's so funny. I don't get any rose.
If you did not tell me what this was, I would not think rose.
I would say white floral.
I don't even know if I would say white floral. I'd say like watery floral.
It's very watery. It's like a watery floral.
Aquatic
musk.
Yeah.
Question mark.
But there's something that is very cozy and sheer. It kind of reminds me of like the aquatic fresh scents of the 90s.
It's very
90s. It is giving a little bit Gap Dream, a little bit, but it's beautiful. I love it. This is a very, like, you know, meet the mother scent, you know?
Yes.
It's something you wear to dinner.
That's so funny. And yeah. You're so right.
It totally is. But it's really beautiful. And also, like, it's been fucking muggy as shit in New York City. And honestly, wearing this scent famously, we do not seasonalize scents here, but it is actually a bit of olfactory reprieve from the thick-ass air outside.
Yeah.
So it feels really nice to wear.
Yeah. The whole About Love collection is really exciting. I mean,
so good.
We love Aloria, etc. This collection coming out, really, really exciting.
Yeah. And I guess they'll be coming out soon, so we'll probably talk about the other ones as they release.
They're worth the wait.
They're worth the wait.
We are very excited about today's guest. So John Early is a writer, director, comedian, and his new movie, Maddie's Secret, is in select theaters now. I saw it about 2 weeks ago. Sable, you saw it recently.
Yeah.
It's so fun, so great.
I went in with absolutely no expectation. I have no idea what this is about.
Yeah.
I heard a lot of confusing things. I think the word dark comedy or like tragic comedy was used. And I was like, sure.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was that dark.
The themes are dark, but the take is lighter.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like TW, eating disorders. So that's a big feature in the film.
Yeah. So Maddie is, we'll get into it in the episode, but she works for sort of a satire on Bon Appetit. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, they collapse all of millennial food YouTube content culture into this fake brand, Gourmet Bee. And she's a dishwasher who becomes on-camera talent, and that dredges up some disordered habits with her eating, and then hilarity ensues. It's
insane to go from disordered eating to hilarity ensues.
It's not very hilarity, but it's...
It's dark subject matter addressed compassionately, but also with, you know, light moments.
Yeah. It's shot like John used the word yearning, like a sort of 90s teen rom-com.
That's what I thought. It was like a 90s kind of like coming of age melodrama.
Yeah. It's a little intentionally, I don't want to say schmaltzy, but maybe.
A little campy.
It's a little campy, it's really sincere.
Yes. You know? Yes,
and
yes.
It really puts its foot into what it's doing.
Like the acting is like very stylistic, I feel.
Mm-hmm. It feels. I sound like Harry Styles. It's a movie that feels like a movie. But like the way that it's lit feels, and the music. Like it feels almost a little like made for TV, honestly.
Absolutely. It's like Lifetime Channel.
There's a little sort of VHS gloss over it.
Mm-hmm.
It balances satire and sincerity really deftly, like really, really expertly. Mm-hmm. And the characters are played with a lot of heart, and their trials and tribulations are dealt with, you know, in a serious way, but through a camp.
It is, because like in the beginning, I feel like the beginning feels more campy.
Absolutely.
You know, the cliche lecherous boss who has a lot of like one-liners. Mm-hmm. And there are some kind of, like you were saying, like the lesbian best friend trope. But once you get further into the second and third act, you're like, oh, okay, this is actually like a sincere, earnest film.
John plays the lead role, Maddie, and Kate Berlant's in it.
Mm-hmm. Vanessa Bayer. Wasn't Christian Johnson. Mm. Who was in that Sex in the City scene where she's like, nobody's having fun anymore. And then she falls out the window.
Whatever happened to fun?
Me.
Yeah. She was really good as like the toxic mom.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's a great movie. Go see it. So in parallel, they released a fragrance called Maddie's Secret, developed with our friend Marissa Zappas.
Marissa Zappas.
And the notes of the fragrance, we'll get into it. Night blooming jasmine, chocolate milk, toasted rice, saffron, and Sichuan pepper. Sort of a play on the ingredients in the 2014 cooking.
Mm-hmm, the too muchery of it all.
You know, pickled jalapenos and candied pistachios and creme fraiche. And so, but the fragrance
is legitimately very good.
Rocks. Like, it's so good. I mean, it is very smelly later coated.
Oh, yeah.
With the saffron and the chocolate milk and the toasted rice. I mean, it's very us, but my God. I mean, I'm not surprised it's Marissa Zappas. Like, of course it's going to slap, but this is something I would wear any day of the week by any brand. It is so beautiful.
Yeah. It's gourmand, but I feel like when Marissa does gourmands, there is this sort of almost like through a staticky television screen lens to it. It feels more ambient than literal.
Yeah.
You know?
We are in... And I say this as a gourmand lover having the time of my life, but we are in an era of gourmands for gourmand's sake.
Yeah.
This is not that. This is a really intelligent, elevated fragrance that is gourmand, but not for the sake of sweetness.
No.
That saffron adds a really nice, suede-y, like you said, staticky, shiny feel.
Yeah.
That's half leathery, half almost like salty.
Yeah. I mean, like, to me, saffron always adds this round, glassy type of quality to a scent.
Yes.
It's like a textural add.
Yeah.
Wait, now that I've like just resprayed it on my wrist, I'm like, okay, the chocolate milk pulls up fast quite a bit. And then on the dry down, you get this these like really cozy, enveloping, warm notes that come up.
And worth mentioning, there's a lot of milk happening in fragrance, a lot of rice.
Yeah.
This doesn't feel like that. It feels just balanced and round.
Agree, yeah.
And timeless. It doesn't, you're not, you know, I think we're going to smell a couple of things in a few years and be like, that was 2026, wasn't it?
Yeah.
This is not that. This feels like it could come out at any time. Mm-hmm. I'm really just thrilled by it.
It's so nice. Like I said, it's like sexy cozy.
Yeah. Marissa is just one of the most important perfumers that we have. I mean, she's just like such a once in a lifetime talent. I don't even think of her like as a perfumer. I think of her as a prophet. And her medium is perfume. You know, I just think the way that she, forgive me for sounding exactly like this, but like builds worlds with her scents is like none other. Yeah. And so we're so lucky to have this. Yeah. And so lucky to welcome writer-director of Medi Secret, John Early, to the show today to talk about the movie, to talk about the fragrance, how they intersect, how they live apart from each other.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
Hello, everyone. I'm John Early. And, you know, I guess I'm many things. I'm an actor. I am now technically a director. And you could also say I do comedy. Although I guess I have some shame about or some fear about re-entering.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I'm scared.
Wait, what do you mean?
You know, this movie required me to kind of like completely give over to it for a couple of years, and then suddenly I'm, you know, I guess I'm like looking out at my future and going, well, one way that I classically made money was touring and doing shows, and I think the thing is, the longer you spend away from stand-up, the more shame you feel about it. In my case, at least, I start I wake up in the middle of the night going, I said what? Like, I can't believe some of the stuff I've said on stage. It's either like too revealing or it's just bad. It's just not well written or, you know. But then all it takes is like one show and then I realize that I love it again and then I can get back into it. But it's been a long time. So it feels a little fraudulent in this moment to say I'm a comedian.
Okay.
I'm identifying more as a director.
That's fair.
That's fair.
You know, we've been doing this show for 6 years, and I do sort of feel that same element of like, oh, did I really need to say that and have live forever?
Yes.
You know, it's like very different scales, I'm sure, but it's like, damn, I really had a mic in front of me that whole time, didn't I?
Yes. Well, it's all part of the same larger problem, I think.
Right.
Everyone's talking too much.
Of course. Yeah, I agree.
Thank God for our short attention spans.
Yes.
I just have to assume everyone forgets everything I ever said. So like, great.
Just pray.
I think that is true. I think that is important to remember.
It's the only thing that keeps me grounded.
Yeah.
So, John, we start every episode by asking our guests, what do you smell like today?
Okay. You know what? I'll tell you what. There's a very strong smell today, which is, I don't know if it's me, like the shirt I'm wearing from last night, or if it's just the smell of the house I'm in, which is my house, which is beef tallow.
Oh my gosh, are you on the beef tallow tip?
No, I'm actually not, although I know about the beef tallow tip.
Okay.
I've moisturized my face with someone else's beef tallow before, which I found to be kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But you know, nothing happened. Nothing bad happened. Yeah. But it's that I made steak last night.
Mm.
I made a strip steak.
Yum.
And I cleaned up immediately after so that this wouldn't happen. But it requires, you know, in order to get that crust, that browning, you really have to turn the stove up very high.
Yeah.
And so fat was like flinging out, you know, splattering out of the pan and smoke. But I had windows open, I thought, and I left the windows open all night thinking that would help, but it still smells like steak, which is not bad. I mean, it's a kind of, I'm hungry. So there's a beef tallow smell. There's also, not to brag, but I basted the steak with butter and garlic and marjoram.
Okay.
Oh.
Wow.
A very matty herb.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and so there is like a faint marjoram smell, which I learned last night from my friend who came over, is baby oregano.
Oh.
Ooh, I did not know that.
I didn't know that either.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I knew there was a connection. Like they basically taste, I would say, almost identical, but they're called different things. And I've always wondered what but yeah, she said it was baby oregano, which I don't even really know what that means, baby, in the plant world.
It's like the veal of oregano.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's kind of what I smell like, is steak.
Hey, it could be worse.
It could be worse, honestly.
Yeah.
Before we get to all things Maddie, we just sort of like to set the scene and just hear from you about your history with fragrance and what fragrances were impactful to you throughout your life. And it doesn't have to be fine fragrance. It can be anything that you encountered.
Yeah. You know, my relationship to fragrances, I guess like many people today, is somewhat new. Mm-hmm. And it really is through Ruby and Marissa. Mm-hmm. Ruby McAllister, who's in the movie and has worked with Marissa Zappas, I probably on this podcast don't need to explain who she is.
Oh, we right. love Marissa.
Yeah.
Ruby is an old friend of mine. And I guess one day when I was in New York for no reason at all, she just kind of invited me to come over to Marissa's just to experience the fun of all the scents. And I just got to sit there and smell things, and it was heaven. Mm. And Marissa gave me a Tom Ford scent that was never made.
Whoa.
It was like a tester that they never actually manufactured, I guess. And it was called Cigarette After Love.
Whoa.
And it was like, it smelled like cigarettes, and it smelled like the paper on cigarettes. Mm-hmm. And it was like the greatest. And it was just this tiny little bottle that I had that I like managed to spread out for like 2 years.
Oh.
And it was just the most amazing scent I will ever. I'm always searching for something like that, and I can never really find it. But maybe you guys can help me.
Yeah.
But but that, so I would say that's my relationship to scents currently, is just mm-hmm. through Ruby, and then through this process, mm-hmm. I've become more interested in it. But I guess the more honest answer is just like, I loved the way, and both of my parents are kind of modest and Protestant.
Okay.
They don't like to stand out. Yes. And so my mother never wore a fragrance. But of course, like most people, I have a very strong memory of like, I don't know, like a lipsticky smell.
Yeah.
With my mother. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's everyone's like first scent.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like a very nostalgic scent. And then my dad had this deodorant that was like, I didn't necessarily love the smell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it was like, and it was in one of those fancy tubes. It wasn't like an Old Spice, kind of flat.
Interesting.
Like, it was more of a cylindrical, it felt a little fancy.
Okay.
I don't know what it was, but it was very spicy.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't love it. But, you know, the scent that I really, really loved was my grandfather, who was in Virginia, my mom's father.
Mm-hmm.
He wore some kind of classic, just very masculine cologne that mm-hmm. I loved so much. And that's another thing I'm always trying to hunt down, is mm-hmm. like a very masculine scent like that. Because look at me. I mean, and look at the work I make, really.
Right.
So I'm trying to think more broadly, like outside of perfume or scent. You know, I like, for example, I just used the word perfume. Like, yeah. I didn't understand until very recently that the thing we made for Maddie Secret was like an eau de parfum.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't even realize there were distinctions.
Yeah.
I just kept telling people we're making a perfume until I was kind of like chastened not to say that.
You can say that.
Thank you. Thank you. But I'm trying to think what else. Sense, important sense. I mean, I guess my relationship to fragrance or just like to smell that is mostly one of shame.
Really? Wait, what do you mean?
Well, or no, not shame. I think paranoia is actually the more accurate thing, which is like, I do think that there is part of the human experience. I think it's just turned up or down different levels for everyone. But like, mm-hmm. I'm sure there are like books written about, I hope there are books written about this. I'm sure Freud wrote about this, but like, it's like the fear that you smell.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
Just living with the fear that you smell and having to accept the knowledge that you can't smell yourself. I think it's like a really deep part of being a human being is like,
yeah, realizing especially an American.
Yeah.
Oh, why?
I think, well, like we talk about this a lot on this podcast. I think American culture is obsessed with this perception of cleanliness.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
And like that's why we have all these like Glade plugins
yeah.
and
Ew.
The smell of cleaning spray is like so, so strong.
Sable actually did write a book about this.
Yeah.
Who did?
And, like,
who did?
Sable. I've written about this before, but also like,
oh my God.
I was the smelly kid in high school because
yeah.
I was and still am allergic to aluminum in deodorant. Mm-hmm. And when I was in high school, they just didn't have natural deodorant, so I just had to like raw dog it and suffer.
Wait, what happened to you like on an allergy level if you...
I would break out into hives.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It wasn't even something I could tolerate. It was like really bad. So I would go to the bathroom between classes and just try and like... swab my armpits with a moist towelette.
Of course. I know it was just hell. I mean, I was very scared of, I had a retainer in fifth grade.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And I remember being so scared that my breath smelled. So I held my hand in front, like 5 inches in front of my mouth when I was talking to people. And then people started to notice. They were like, what are you, why, move your hand. You're like covering your face.
Yeah.
And then I remember, and then so once people started to notice, I would start to try to hide the fact that I was, like, I tried to find ways to motivate a casual hand in front of my face. You know, like I would I would tell stories that were like, I could bring the hand like right in front of the mouth at the, you know, like at the most expressive, loudest part of the story, you know, like where they might smell. Like, and actually it wasn't till recently, I mean, I'm not kidding, like a week ago, where like a final, the fear was finally quelled, because I have never, I'm too sensitive to find out. Like I've gone through my whole life being like, well, listen, if I do smell, I'm not asking even the closest, most trustworthy friend, because if my friend looked me in the eye and said, you know what, John, yeah, you do. And like, I love you, obviously. And like, it's not going to change our friendship, but like, you do smell, you know?
Yeah.
And like, don't worry, like, we're going to figure this out. Like, I could not bear that conversation. That would like,
totally.
I think I would kill myself. And so I was like resigned to never knowing. And then you have moments where you're like, did I just like get it? Like, little moments, little flinches where I'm like little winces or something. Or like, I'll be talking to someone and I see them like moving back and I'm like, oh my God, it's true. It's true. I smell. But then my dear friend Kate Brilliant and her partner Naomi Pearson, we were hanging out the other night and somehow, and it was just like, it was like the most thrilling experience of my life. I didn't even let them in on how thrilling this was for me. Yeah. They started talking about just like stinkiness.
Yeah.
And they were like, we're so lucky that none of us like struggle, like truly struggle with that.
Oh, wow.
And I was like being so cool. And I was like, totally, totally. But I was like, am I literally getting confirmation of my big, like that I... like finally I'm getting confirmation that I don't smell.
It like absolves you of that fear. Yeah.
Yes, it was amazing. And I was like, so you guys are saying that I don't smell. Like I was like trying to be subtle about it. And they were like, no, you don't. And very sweetly, Naomi was like, no, I actually like, love your smell. Kate was like, yeah, Naomi was talking about the other day. Like, they were like, it's like milky. And I was like, oh, interesting. So there is a funkiness. You're confirming that there's a funkiness.
It's like, I can't interrogate that either. I'm just going to leave it at the good part.
Oh, no, exactly. So now a new paranoia has been created. But I was really relieved.
Oh, my God. That's like the best answer to that question I've ever gotten. Wow. Congratulations on being
ready. I knew if we flew free, we'd be okay.
Yes. Amazing. So Sable and I have both seen Maddie's Secret.
Yes.
We were both like stunned by it.
Oh my God, thank you.
It was so fun. I loved it.
And we'll do an intro of it at the beginning of the episode, but do you mind just like in your own words, maybe to the listeners who are unfamiliar, just giving a top line about what the movie is?
Sure. Maddie's Secret is a movie that I made with my friends, not just the actors, but pretty much all of the crew, their department heads. It was a movie that I made with this ethos, like a kind of sleepover ethos. I was like, I want to make something very fast and cheap and without intervention from executives, producers that I don't know.
Yeah.
There's something very adolescent about it, and it's like both its the way it was made, but also in its tone. It has a very like yearning, aching,
yeah.
Oh, yes.
Kind of teen, preteen kind of quality to it. But it's basically a kind of unhinged contemporary retelling of this movie called Kate's Secret, a 1986
movie. I had wondered that. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I
wondered if it was like inspired or based on. Okay, good.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I kind of stumbled into this, and I think this is what the movie is on kind of a surface level. It's a movie that I kind of gleefully steal from in this movie. but it's called Kate's Secret. It's a TV movie from the 80s about a bulimic housewife. That is like a kind of, it's one of those like camp artifacts that's passed around. I mean, I've heard some people have told me that it like used to play at gay bars.
Okay.
It was just insane and disgusting. Gay people are so depraved. But so yeah, I kind of use that as a jumping off point, but on a deeper level, it's very like inspired by Showgirls and Muriel's Wedding and lots of movies that I really love. But it's about a kind of plucky dishwasher. I know you guys asked, you were expecting something shorter. I'm almost
No, it's fine.
No, give us the whole sauce.
It's about a kind of plucky young dishwasher named Maddie and I play Maddie, to be very clear. It's perhaps the most important part about all this. I play her. She's an ingenue. She's like a classic archetypal ingenue, like full of optimism and naivete. And she's a dishwasher at a like kind of just depraved food content company called Gourmaby that makes like cooking videos. And she's an aspiring chef. And she's very, very sincere. And she's pure of heart. And she gets promoted at the company. So she goes from being a dishwasher to being on camera. And once she's on camera, it kind of reawakens her old demons, her battles, her childhood battles with an eating disorder and this very troubling relationship with her mother, who's at the center of it, as they often are.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, it's like, it's a wild experiment, this movie. It's like a goofy, unhinged David Wayne movie in some ways, but it's also like a dead serious melodrama. And, you know, it's a wild ride. So that's the movie.
I just had such a great time watching it, because I love how you sort of took the piss out of the millennial Bon Appetit YouTube content culture, not to name names.
The lecherous boss.
Yes.
yeah.
And I'm super impressed by two things. One, you playing Maddie and you playing a woman, but you know, you weren't in drag, and the punchline was never you as Maddie, you know, it felt very grounded and sincere in her lived experience. And I thought that was like really beautiful in the way that you did that, because we were never laughing at Maddie for being a guy, being a woman, you know, during like the long shots of her body or like the love scene at the beginning, it was all very just what it was.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I guess the second, like you said, the tone of the movie and the yearning and the sort of VHS gloss over it, I'm sure I'm not like doing it justice, but it was so sincere and also so satirical, but it never punched down at anything happening in the plot, you know?
Thank you. That's all. I really appreciate that.
Where did just the sort of inspiration for the film come from before we get to the perfume?
I don't know. I really, like, okay, there's a lot of answers. Mm-hmm. I've given a lot of high-minded answers, you know, where I'm talking about the kind of cinephilia that got me there. But I've never had a chance to say this on record, and so I'm going to use it now, which is, like, I felt fat.
Oh.
I mean, listen, the truth is I really, really wanted to make a movie. Mm-hmm. I really desperately wanted to make a movie. And I wanted to make something that was very propulsive and very full of feeling. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to see if I could do that very cheaply. Like, I have a lot of friends who are used to making very tasteful, artful things with no money. And I wanted to do that. Mm-hmm. I think there was a desire. There's a lot of rage. We'll get back to the I felt fat, by the way. there's like a lot of rage I have about this. There's a lot of vibiness in art, in music, in TV, in film. We're living under big vibe, big ambience. For the past 10, 15 years. I really feel very fed up with it. And I was really desperate to make something that cut through that, you know, that was like, I mean, again, I'm sure you're, I feel like I'm describing a perfume, but I really wanted to make something that was like dorky and sincere and like loud and big-hearted and didn't have this kind of mushy back on its heels quality that I think most things do today. You know, like there's no melody anymore in pop music. You know, it's just vibe. And so I wanted to make something, to quote Muriel's Wedding, that was as good as an ABBA song. You know, and I'm not saying this movie is good as an ABBA song, but like, it aspires to have like a kind of pop song structure and like a pop. I wanted to make a movie that was not hiding the fact that it wants to move people, you know, like it's very direct. So I think that's like the true kind of, those are the artistic reasons why I wanted to make this. There's also just like the performance reason, which is that I have always had the Maddie voice in me. She's always been in me, and it's like something I do to make myself laugh and make my friends laugh. And I basically was like, well, what if I did a full feature as this girl? I had no story. But and what was particularly making me laugh was speaking in this kind of archaic 1950s ingenue way, but saying things from contemporary life, these ugly things from contemporary life, like Condé Nast or like Hulu, you know. That was like, that is the joke that birthed this entire movie. And like most jokes, there's something actually secretly deep about it. And I didn't realize till much later that it's like, I wanted to bring some kind of feeling and technicolor to our very grim, very flat, dreadful, phone-based contemporary life, you know? So I think that's that. And then the other part, to go back to what I've so provocatively said about feeling fat, which like, it just, it is kind of true that like, you know, I feel or that, you know, I am a gay guy. I'm on apps. I'm on these awful apps that I'm addicted to, like every other element of my phone. And, you know, and so I spend a lot of time feeling where you're kind of reducing your whole body, your self into like a picture of your body and kind of selling it out to the world. It's like, I don't know. And I just don't, it doesn't make me feel good, and it just makes me feel like everyone else is in shape but me, and like and you have these very like, it makes me feel like a kid, it makes me feel adolescent and self-conscious, and like this isn't the main reason why I made the movie, but I do think there's nowhere in the culture right now to put those insecurities, because we're in this moment of kind of like relentless body positivity. You know, and like, and you're supposed to feel like empowered by like, like by the things that make you different. And like, you know, and I'm just like, well, I feel like shit, actually. Like, I don't like the way I look, you know? So it's like, there was something very, I think, liberating for me about taking those insecurities and like channeling it through this older, more expressive and emotional, like, mother, please, like, kind of like, this, that, like, because, you know, it's like I could make fun of those feelings. You know what I mean? I could air those feelings out and make fun of them with this kind of histrionic TV movie tone. Instead of like, where when I look out at contemporary life, like there's nowhere, I feel like there's nowhere for those feelings to go. I'm like not allowed to feel shitty about myself. You know?
I think that's a deeply universal felt feeling right now, especially with like, we're kind of realizing in real time that body positivity was like, until we find something better, and now we have GLP-1s,
yes, which is
like
yes,
a whole other thing that like is not the relief we thought it would be.
It does feel like everyone around us is, I mean, I want to be really careful about the way that we talk about this, because, you know, I don't like to talk about people's bodies at all, but it does feel like everyone around me is shrinking.
Completely.
And I mean, like, well, I don't, are you guys, where are you guys?
We're in New York.
Okay, and I'm in Hollywood.
Oh my gosh. So you're getting it probably five times as much as we are. Oh my God.
Right. So you talked about, you know, wanting to make a piece of art that made people feel something unapologetically. And I think that we talk about fragrance all the time, and it is one of the most, to me, evocative pieces of art that one can make. So how did the perfume come to be a part of the Maddie's Secret cinematic universe?
Well, it's beautiful that you said Maddie's Secret cinematic universe, because I do think that's like kind of the bigger joke to me, mm-hmm. you know, is like that this little indie film that we made for $750,000, which is not a lot of money in mm-hmm. film world, it's basically nothing. I mean, 700,000 of that goes to like fruit snacks for the group. It was very funny to me to also have a perfume.
Mm, yeah.
You know, I think like there's something very luxurious about, like when people think of perfume, I think most people first think of the kind of aspirational kind of fancy thing.
Yeah.
You know, like yeah. they think of like a regal, yeah, like a fancy woman and yeah. her boudoir and like all of her perfumes. And so I don't know, there's something funny to me. There's also like, you know, there's a kind of John Waters polyester element, not just to this movie, but like mm-hmm. polyester for the uninitiated, it's like, it's basically John Waters doing a Douglas Sirk movie.
Sure.
And that is very, it's like kind of a goofy melodrama, but it's like beautifully, beautifully made. And of course mm-hmm. it stars Divine playing a woman and, mm-hmm. and it's like a women's picture kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's like his take on a woman's picture. So this movie is very consciously that, but also polyester did this like Odorama thing. So they mm-hmm. had Odorama cards that, you know, it's 1981 and he was doing like a kind of classic William Castle, like, you know, those old horror movies from the 50s where like the seats would buzz, you know, or they would pass out barf bags. You know, there's always like some kind of gag.
Yeah.
And in polyester's case, they made smell-o-vision card where you scratch and sniff when a certain number comes up on the screen so you can smell what's going on in the movie. So like this was also like the perfume to me was kind of a nod to that. Mm-hmm. It's also this like timelessly feminine thing. And Maddie to me is very timelessly feminine. And I hate merch. Like I hate the current mm-hmm. state of merch.
Yeah.
For movies, there's something like, it's really depressing to me. And this felt like the kind of classiest, most exciting and thoughtful version of merch. I mean, we put a lot of thought into this and it took a lot of real, like a lot of people worked on this and it was really cared for. And that to me is the movie is like, mm-hmm. I want people to feel taken care of and to feel like, yes, it's a scrappy little indie, but we have choreography in it. And it's like, you know, we really worked hard and we care about your experience. So that's that. I mean, I'll say a little bit more, which is like what I love about this object is like, or about this perfume is like, it's, or eau de parfum, sorry. you know, in some ways, like when I imagine like Elizabeth Taylor, like it feels like a nod to the kind of two major groups of movies that this movie is referencing on a top note level, which is like, you know, the 50s, like American classic melodrama. Mm-hmm. You know, I think of like really elegant classic perfumes that mm-hmm. that might be associated. Like, I mean, didn't Elizabeth Taylor make a perfume? She had to have.
Oh, yeah, White Diamonds.
Yeah.
Oh my God, sorry, excuse me. See, I don't know anything. And then I also, because this movie also is referencing like 80s, 90s TV movies, there's also this kind of like, which Ruby was really, this was her idea, was like White Shoulders.
Yes, oh my God, yes. Yes.
You know, and like this kind of drugstore accessible perfume that you can get in the mall. Mm-hmm. And like that to me is the movie. The movie is both, it has these highbrow classical aspirations and is like going for something that's like, it's high and lowbrow. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like aspiring to be like a great melodrama made with tons of like a lush melodrama from the 50s with tons of money behind it. But then it's also like a cheap TV movie too, like a cheap tawdry TV movie.
Right.
And also it's like the title of the movie sounds like a perfume.
Yeah.
Not a secret.
Yeah.
But on a more practical level, this was like Ruby came to me with this idea and I was like, exactly. Of course we have to do it. And it has to be called Maddie's Secret. It made total sense to me.
Yeah.
And you know, I knew Marissa through her and I knew immediately what, because the movie already has so many scents in it. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the opening sequence, Maddie's like sniffing a jasmine bush.
Yeah.
I also like because I didn't even know that I had never heard the term gourmand before this process.
Yeah.
And so I very innocently was like, and she's a chef, so there's all these ingredients. And they were like, yeah, gourmand sense. But like, I kind of knew exactly what the ingredients were. And I just kind of told Marissa everything that I thought it could be. And then she started working with those. It was very quick. And then it was like, she immediately landed on, like the first thing she gave me, I was like, this is it. Wow. This is the movie. I was like, oh my God. but it didn't last. It didn't last.
Okay.
Which I didn't even realize was like a concern, you know?
Yeah.
And she was like, no, they get you. The people get upset if it doesn't last. And I didn't know. And I didn't realize, I didn't know there was this, just such a huge perfume culture and like all these fragrantica or whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know about any of this.
Yeah.
So then we basically, she figured out a kind of an ingredient that would make it stay more, it turned out to be chocolate milk.
Wow.
Which I was really excited about. It felt very kind of like a little cutesy in the way that a lot of contemporary internet cooking is.
Yeah.
And that made sense to me. But I was very excited for the perfume also to represent the layers of the film. Like there's this sweet kind of top layer of this movie, this like kind of delightful, fizzy, fun layer. And then there's like the deeper psychosexual layers of the movie. And so I also was like, I was so excited when we were making this. I was like, oh my God, this scent can really capture so many things about the movie. And and I think there's like a kind of, the milkiness also is very Freudian to me, the relationship, Maddie's relationship to her mother. And, you know, I don't know. I think it contains the whole world.
I would agree. You know, I heard you on Nymphowars, my favorite podcast.
Oh my God.
I know.
Dana loves perfume.
I know.
This is new.
Her getting into it has like had me dying every episode because I'm like, Dana, like, keep going.
I know. You should have her on.
Oh my God. We should have.
I mean, she's totally brilliant. It's like one of the great new pleasures of my life is listening to Dana talk about perfume. Or she brings in perfume as like metaphor all the time.
Yes, exactly.
Just casually in conversation.
That's a great idea. I would die. But you mentioned your talk with Allison Roman, which I then tracked down, and how she said Maddie would put one too many things in here. You know, it's like the candied kumquats and the this and the that. And when you look at the build of the fragrance, the notes that they call out are night blooming jasmine, chocolate milk, toasted rice, saffron, and Sichuan pepper. It sort of has that feel of like, wait, what? But like the scent is honestly exquisite.
It
like,
is.
Oh my God. That makes me so happy. Yeah.
It's also very like smell you later coated, honestly. Like the saffron, the chocolate.
Oh my God.
I texted Sable last night after I got it. I was like, Sable, this fucking bangs. But
oh my God.
Was that sort of the idea to, I guess you just maybe answer this question, but you know, the notes of it does feel like an appetizer from Bon Appetit in like 2014. Was that sort of maybe part of the joke in the world of like, yeah, like let's make it look like these things would have looked?
Yes. Well, I mean, definitely. I mean, again, I don't know about perfume, so I don't know what is excessive, what is not, like how, like, I don't know when ingredients are listed, how, what feels like strange or over the excessive to people or like, or incongruous, like that and that together. What?
Yeah.
Like, I really don't know what the standards are. So, but I can say that like part of the joke of both the movie, and I mean, like one of my favorite props in this movie was a little chalkboard. It's like a foot. Mm-hmm. It's kind of small, but it was in the kitchen. It's like barely visible in the movie. Mm-hmm. But the production designer was like, can you tell me like what is like, do a grocery list for Maddie. And like, and I was like doing this grocery list laughing so hard. It's like no one else was laughing, but like there's something so it flew out of me. I was like, yuzu, marjoram. Thank you very much to bring it back. And also as a way of saying, I am Maddie, je suis Maddie. Yuzu, marjoram, sambal, olek, coconut milk, turmeric, or however you say it. Yeah. You know, it's like, to me, these feel like LA girl ingredients.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And like when I moved to LA in 2016, I was exposed to like a totally different kind of cooking and a kind of restaurant culture. And it's, you know, it's a little Mexican, it's a little Filipino, it's a little well me. I don't know. And to be very clear, like I found it funny, but I also simultaneously found it incredible. Like I was rocked by the flavors. I was rocked by these ingredients that I, you know, I don't know. And I also was so charmed by the packaging of the little cans of coconut milk. They're so beautiful. And there's so many bright colors. And like, but there was just something funny to me about that ingredient list, like inherently in a way that I can't explain.
Yeah.
And so when I was listing the ingredients, like the potential ingredients to Marissa originally, I was laughing. I mean, it was like there was inherently something funny to me about these kind of like LA girl ingredients being said in the same breath. Right. You know, I don't know.
Right.
It sounds almost like a witch's spell, but for like yes. the craft girls.
Totally.
Before the film begins, there's sort of a commercial for the yeah. fragrance, right?
Yes, and it's in shot, some theaters.
It, yeah, well,
ooh,
luckily it was in.
I feel lucky that
you saw it. Right?
I saw it at IFC.
Okay, great.
Oh yes, yeah. I saw no, it. IFC so yeah. beautifully agreed to play yeah. it before every screening.
We saw it at BAM.
Oh, cool!
But it was just like. I don't know, because it shared the sort of the same. It shared the tone of Maddie's Secret, uh-huh. but also the tone of like an 80s Calvin Klein commercial,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
for like
totally.
Euphoria.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like so nicely done.
And,
so, yeah.
and Curious by Britney Spears.
Yeah. Oh, which I have tattooed on me, by the way, but that's
another, no.
Yes.
wait, what do you have? What does it say? Does it say, do you dare?
I have the bottle.
Oh yeah. my God. You have to send a picture.
I will. But
was it Do You Dare? Was that what she said?
Yeah.
At the end?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Do You Dare?
Yep.
Yeah. yeah. Well, you know, Maddie's voice, we're not going to get off topic, but
no.
I'll quickly say that Maddie's voice is very inspired by Britney's speaking voice.
Really?
Oh.
You know, like, hi. Like, just like the kind of, the just, I'm like, I can't, it's just sort of part of it.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's uh-huh. so funny. I guess I see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But with the commercial, I mean, was that also sort of always part of the idea? Because it's just like so concise and tight and nicely done.
Mm-hmm.
I would just love to know how you got there too. Because I know you had a whole ass movie to shoot. So,
well, the commercial was, we shot it at the end of May. So okay. like wow. the movie had been in the can
yeah.
For a really long time at that point. The commercial was inevitable. Like, it just was like, obviously this has to come with a commercial. But it was, I was completely at the end of my rope. I was doing a play and promoting the movie at the same time. And I just was like, I'm so happy I did this. I just was like, Ruby, I cannot do this. I will show up. You just tell me where to stand, and if you guys can arrange everything, like I trust you completely. And this is so her world, not just mm-hmm. perfume, but like this era of culture. It's like she just totally gets it. Ruby is really a major artist in mm-hmm. so many various disciplines. So she basically conceived it and directed it, and Max Lackner, who shot the movie, shot the commercial, and mm-hmm. I think absolutely had a directorial hand in it too. And mm-hmm. and the Radish, the who were some of the, they're one of the financiers of the mm-hmm. movie. Deb Tam from Radish, she's like very groovy and was very like creatively involved too. And and she and Ruby really like, they like wrote the copy.
Mm.
And I'm very generally very protective of like anything I do. And I was very like, well, I was very kind of paranoid. I was like, let me take a pass at this. I don't, you know, but I had no time to care. Like I had no energy or time to like really put my stamp on it in any yeah. way. And I'm so glad, because I think I would have compromised it, because it really is something that just came from Ruby's soul. Yeah. And I think it's really beautiful. What I didn't expect about the marketing for this fragrance was that it would actually, like, Ruby really touches on the deeper themes of the movie, mm-hmm. of like this kind of Maddie's kind of like self-destruction, and the way that her, this is like, I'm referring to the narration in the commercial.
Yeah.
It's like the limits of being a good girl. And what if you like let yourself go and give over to this weird kind of death drive that Maddie
yeah.
has, you know, and then she's like reborn. She's like reborn anew as this like integrated, like stronger woman who can like, she can be a good girl and a bad girl simultaneously, and she's not bothered by it, you know?
Yeah.
And I was really touched by the kind of poetry of the narration, and Ruby just sent me a little, I recorded on a voice note mm-hmm. and like sent it over to her. And then I just showed up on set and I was like, I don't know. It was so fun. And of course, like the way we always make stuff collectively, and I think individually, we have the, like me and Max and Ruby, it's like, yes, it's funny, but like we're going for beauty. Like we're actually trying to make some genuine, sincerely beautiful images. And Max is such a god. It just was, I just found it to be totally, I think it's like genuinely gorgeous.
Yeah.
And
we were
really, Ruby was playing Moby the whole day on set, which was felt totally correct. And yeah. I don't know. It was like very surreal after a long time away from Maddie to get in the wig and to have the breasts on again and have the makeup on again. Yeah. It was very like kind of touching. And also I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm talking too much, but
no,
that was.
Not at all.
This is a podcast.
Yeah.
You're right.
That's what we do here.
We can go out on. I'm just curious. I mean, again, the fragrance is such a banger. It's so gorgeous.
Oh.
I mean, it's no shock. It's from Marissa, of course.
Yeah,
but
of course.
I'm just curious about the reception. How have you found the release going and people's response to it, maybe as a fragrance alone and with the movie?
Well, you know, I think people seem... I knew Marissa was the real deal, obviously.
Yeah.
But I don't think I realized how deep this kind of perfume culture goes online and like... And how much her name, carries a lot of weight.
She is
and
like a deity amongst them.
I really benefited from that. And it's so I've been very, very moved to see people kind of like actually consider it and like review it. And like, I thought people would just kind of laugh it off as like merch.
Yeah.
And be like, oh yeah, cute. You know, I got the perfume, haha. Like, yeah. I'm very moved by the way people are like genuinely considering it and genuinely, very thoughtfully kind of tying it to the movie. And that's been very exciting. It seems that people really like it. You know, similarly, it's like, you can't trust your, are your friends really going to tell you if you smell, if you're stinky? We don't know. My friends seem to genuinely love it.
Yeah.
I wear it every day.
Amazing.
Like, I literally, it's the only scent I have. Like, I don't layer it with anything. I'm not that sophisticated of a of a customer, but I literally wear it every day. I'm in love with it.
It is such a sexy, cozy scent.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
This thrills me. I have it next to me. I'm going to actually smell it.
It really is. I mean, this is basically like a saffron podcast, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
But like, everything around it, like the chocolate milk, the toasted rice, the Sichuan pepper, like it's just, I mean, I smelled it and was just like, God damn.
Oh my
it's
God.
So beautiful.
I you hope you keep it in
so
production.
Happy.
Yeah.
I was like, is this like a limited release?
But I guess the plan was also like, if it sells out, we'll roll run another batch, whatever they say.
Okay. All right.
And also Marissa and I were talking about like, maybe we do a different kind of, I mean, look, the truth is I want to make 3 Maddie movies.
Oh, cool.
Like, that's my dream is, like, I want her to be, like, a kind of, like, a YA figure, like, a kind of, like, an American Girl, kind of American Girl doll.
Yeah.
And so, like, we've talked about, like, making a different variation on the perfume for each one.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, who knows? Who knows? But what do you mean you're a saffron podcast? You love saffron.
We love saffron.
Yeah, we're obsessed with it. Every time there's a scent that calls out saffron in the notes, I'm just like, give it to me.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, to me, that's what makes this perfume work.
Yeah.
Is like, there's something, at least to me, there's something like subtly kind of savory about saffron. Yeah. I don't know if you feel that way.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's almost like sour saffron.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like, I don't know, it's what makes this less of a joke, like less like purely kind of sweet and girly and like makes it kind of deeper.
Yeah.
And I feel like it also, another term I learned, the dry down, like I feel like you smell it later on.
Yeah.
It's like it's like the more lasting thing as throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But do you guys smell the pepper?
I feel like I do get a little bit of the spice. We always talk about like, okay, what are we really smelling and what is our brain telling us to smell?
Right,
but like, I think I do get a tiny bit of the fieriness from the pepper, you know?
I think I kind of sense it in like the textural way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I know what you mean. I do.
Yeah.
It's definitely in there,
convincing myself that I smell it. What are the ingredients? Saffron, chocolate milk, jasmine. I guess... And you smell the jasmine for sure, right?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Me checking with you.
confirming. I got it last night and I put it on, but I was also like flitting around my kitchen. It was storming out, so it wasn't like
we
were, you know, staying inside. And I was making a like a orange peel simple syrup, and I'm like not that kind of cook at all.
Yeah.
But I was like, well, what the fuck else am I doing? and I felt like I was having my own like little Maddie moment, and I was yes. wearing the Maddie fragrance, and I was like really sort of like sitting with it and considering it. And so yeah, no, I do feel like I get a little bit of the fiery Sichuan, so it's not just all in my head, mm-hmm. you know.
Yes, okay, yeah. Good. That's
sorry,
amazing.
I cut you off.
And it was, I love that it was storming too. Yes. It's very Maddie's secret,
right? Yeah. Right, very dramatic.
Yeah. Oh my god, amazing. I can't believe you guys love it.
No,
the way like, you love
it's
it,
legitimately
I
very good.
I love it, genuinely. But I also love it because like I had a hand in it, so I'm like kind of always shocked that I was like a part of it. Obviously never expected to be involved in a right. perfume, but so yeah,
no,
that's so great.
So it's such, I don't know, I think it's just such a win. I would encourage everyone to get out there yeah. and smell it, and also to go see Maddie's Secret. It's just, I don't know,
support
both the fragrance
arts.
And the movie, they're so fucking good, so just
thank
like
you.
Spot on.
And I have to quickly shout out Gordon yes. Landenberger, who is the production designer of the movie,
yeah.
who did these on the box yeah. of the perfume. There's like, I think this like totally gorgeous, oddly three-dimensional.
Oh, like the cameo.
The cameo yeah. of Maddie. Mm-hmm. We bought like a shitty wig because like I didn't have the wigs in New York.
Yeah.
So we went to the Halloween store and got like this hideous synthetic like brown wig, but he came and like sketched me live, and I think it's like, I think the cameo on the box is so special, and I'm very proud of this one detail that I came up with,
yeah,
which is that I was like, you know, I kind of struggled. I was like, because he was going for the white shoulders box,
yeah,
and I was like, well, I'm sorry, I'm like having trouble with the fact, like Maddie is so modest and like uh-huh. she's basically nude here, and yeah. it just feels like a betrayal. It feels like we can't do this to her. And he was like, I know, but it's like iconography, you know, it's like, it doesn't, yeah. it's not really her, you know? And I was like, mm-hmm. I know, but it just, I also was like, there is something also too, I was like, it's not contemporary enough, and Maddie's so contemporary. And so I was like, what if we did like a spaghetti strap? And then like he added the spaghetti strap, and I'm just like, I'm totally obsessed with that detail because it, yep. to me, it is like, it's funny to me in the way the movie is funny, in that it's like beautiful and sincere, but then there's this little like spaghetti strap. I don't yeah. know, like there's like, like there's a tiny little joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I can't explain why it's funny to me, but it is.
Well, it's funny. I posted the packaging last night, and a girlfriend of ours, Marcy, hit me back, and she was like, oh, it's sort of like giving white shoulders.
Yes.
And so, like, I mean, the reference is there. It's so yeah. good.
It's
amazing.
It's the spaghetti strap remix.
It is.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay, sorry. Muna mentioned.
What?
Naomi McPherson of Muna.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, I did.
I was like, in my head, I was like, no, do I know? I don't know who that is.
This episode checked all the boxes for me.
Also, like, not that I know a ton about Kate Berlant other than she is an actress, comedian. She has that podcast, Poog.
Poog.
Didn't know she was gay.
okay.
Again, don't know much about her, but I was like, oh, nice.
We're everywhere.
Okay.
How cool.
Yeah.
Thank you, John. What a great talk.
That was really fun. I love when we have guests who aren't necessarily from the fragrance industry or the fragrance world on, because I feel like they always bring a really fresh perspective on mm-hmm. fragrance. Which a lot of times, like, they're like, I don't know anything about fragrance. And I was like, no,
good.
You do.
Good.
But like, that's why the way you see it is, yeah. you know, novel and important.
It's like the way that the best beauty writers yes. are not beauty writers.
Exactly.
Well, I love episodes like this because I think you know this about me, and mm-hmm. the same for you. It's like, I can't separate perfume from the culture that it lives in.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
perfume
it's
is
hard.
So not just about the scent for me. It doesn't yeah. live in isolation. It's a part of our lives.
Yeah.
So bringing in ideas like this is so, so exciting to me. Perfume is film. It is music, yeah. fashion, film. It is all of that, you know. You can't separate it from the things that it lives alongside and lives mm-hmm. with, which is different for all of us. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just love it.
When I went to see the film, it was at IFC, which is a small independent theater. And the theater had maybe not even 30 seats. Mm. It was a very small room. I got there first just because I was, I don't know, running errands, and I got there early. Mm. And it was a matinee. There was no one there. It was like 3 p.m. And as I watched people come into the room, they walked in and we like stopped because they're like, oh. And there's like the delicate dance of how close do I sit? Right. How close do I sit to the people like next to me? But yep. it was cool to watch a small theater where mm. everyone's laughing
yeah.
and sighing and commenting and being like, oh my God, yeah. at the same time.
It's such a fun film to watch and ride yeah. to go on.
Yeah. I love the three bitchy girls in the recovery clinic.
Yes.
My favorite characters.
So funny.
So funny.
I also really liked the husband.
Yeah.
Just like, it's so nice to just see like a good guy on screen. You know what I mean?
I like that he's like his role as like the romantic interest. It's just like man who loves and is obsessed with Maddie and is supportive. End of his character.
Yeah.
End of character.
It's his only role.
Yeah. It's great.
Go see Maddie's Secret. Go smell the perfume. This is one that's worth tracking down.
Agreed.
If it's in New York. I do believe it's
a Scent Bar exclusive. Or maddiessecrets.com. Yeah, buy direct. Anyway, how do we end this? Please visit our website, smellylater.live. You can find our merch. You can leave us a voice note on our hotline. Follow us on Instagram. We are at smellyleader.mp3. I'm at Sable Tooth Tigra.
I'm at Tynan Buck. And until next time, we will smell you later.